Turn there. And this morning, even though we're not having you turn to Acts chapter 2, you know that our current series is called Fresh. Come on, say it. Fresh. And we've been focusing on fresh church from Acts chapter 2. The blueprint that God gave for the early church is the blueprint for how we ought to be as a church today. And we have modeled our vision, our mission, and our passion around the model of Acts chapter 2. And on your in your bulletin and on your bulletin there, we have our vision statement, a spirit-filled community church here to touch heaven and earth. We shared our mission. Jesus has changed our lives, and we're here to live in the power of Christ, to learn to become like Christ, to love others as Christ, and to lead others to Christ. And we have focused on Acts chapter 2, and as we've done the vision and the mission and the passion, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. I know I told you to turn to 1 Samuel 18. I'm going to get there. But I just want to remind you where we've been. We've been focusing on these four foundational principles of the early church. And they need to be foundational values and principles and passions of us as a church. And then next week I will finish and I'll sum up the other six values that are on the 10 that are listed there on your in your bulletin there. And then I'm going to begin a series beginning the month of September called Doing Life Better. Doing life better. I really believe that that's what the Bible's all about. I really believe that's what Christianity's about. It's about helping us to do life better. How many would like to do life better? And how many want to? And that's what we're going to be talking about in September. But this morning and next week, I want to tie a ribbon around this fresh church message. And let's just, over the last weeks, we talked about that the early church in Acts 2 was committed, continued steadfastly. That is, they were passionately committed to these four things. To the apostles' doctrine, we looked at theology and sound doctrine. To fellowship, we talked about that for a couple of weeks. And then a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the breaking of bread, both in house to house and in the temple. And then this morning, we want to focus on the fourth of these important foundational building blocks of the early church. They were committed to prayers. Now notice the word is plural, prayers. It means just more than just praying. It includes praying, but it also means worship and the whole idea of worship. So the early church was committed to these four principles, and this morning I want to focus on that fourth one, on prayers or worship. How many know the early church in Acts chapter 2 faced a lot of persecution? They had problems, just like we do. But they lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. They lived in the power of God where they saw victories and miracles take place. And the reason is because they were committed to these four things. And especially they were committed to prayer and to worship. How many know fervent prayer and fervent worship must be a quality and a passion of the Church of Jesus Christ? How many know that's why we exist, to worship God? How many know God created us to worship Him? And I wonder today if that has not become a value anymore and a passion of the church even today and in our world. Let me tell you a story about a fisherman who was at sea with his godless companions alongside of him, and they faced a huge storm. How many know even ungodly people, when they go through a storm, want to pray? I've oftentimes been on an airplane, and I sit next to people, and I don't always tell them what I do, because how many know the moment you tell them you're a pastor or a minister, it changes the conversation. They don't know how to handle that. If you're talking about sports or something else, they're good. The moment you mention you're a pastor, it changes the whole. But one time I was on a plane, and I mentioned that about I was a pastor, and the guy didn't know what to do, but then we hit some turbulence. And he said to me, "Hey, are you still a pastor over here?" You know. So these guys, these fishermen were out to sea, and they faced this storm, and all of the companions turned to the captain and said, "You got to pray. You got to do something. You got to help us in this storm." And so the captain said, "Listen, guys, haven't prayed in a long time. I haven't been to church in a long time. I don't know if God's going to even hear my prayer." He says, "You got to do something. You're the captain. You got to pray." And so the captain bows his head and he says, "God, I haven't bothered you for the past 15 years. But if you bail us out of this one, I promise I won't bother you for another 15 years. Now, how many know God wants us to bother Him? How many know prayer and worship needs to be a passion? It needs to be a value. It needs to be something more than we do on Sunday morning, something we do when we come to church. It's got to be more than just clapping our hands and raising our hands, and those are all aspects of worship. And I know today in the church, you know, people want to fight over we don't sing hymns or we sing the new songs or contemporary or traditional. And I know sometimes people get caught up with style as opposed to substance. And I know that there tends to be a problem with different things and so forth. But I want to tell you something. We need to be committed to fervent prayer and worship. That's a power source of the early church, is they were committed to prayer and to worship. Now, this morning, I asked you to turn to 1 Samuel 18. And here's where I want to camp for this morning. And I want to show you something. And here, I'm going to show you something this morning. Now, I've been pastoring for over 30 years. I've been raised in church all my life. I've studied the Bible for many years. And I'm going to show you something that I never saw before. I'm going to show you something that I never connected the dots in the scripture before and really blessed me, and I hope it will bless you this morning. I want you to notice with me from 1 Samuel 18, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And the Lord had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him and made him captain over thousands. David, note this, went out and came in. Say, went out and came in. Before the people. Verse 14, David behaved wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. When Saul saw he behaved wisely, he was afraid of him. But all of the people loved him because he went out and he came in. Come on, say it again. He went out and he came in. Well, say it again. He went out and he came in. I submit to you this morning that David was a great leader. And David was greatly loved by the people because he knew how to go out and he knew how to come in. Now, I've read that before. I never really noticed it that way. But I noticed particularly there's two times that that's in the scripture. And I want to submit to you that David, the Bible wasn't telling us that David was good with doorknobs. I want to submit to you that the Bible's not talking about David knew how to exit and enter a room, okay? It doesn't mean that David was good at going out and coming back in. I mean, no, it's not that simple. It's not that point as he was trying to make. How many understand, sometimes people say, oh, that person knows how to make an entrance, or that person knows how to leave a room or exit. That's not what it's talking about. What I submit to you this morning is something very important, and I never saw this before, and I'm going to show you other scriptures throughout the Bible that just fascinated me and just caught my attention. And I've been preaching for 30 years and never noticed this. David went out, and he came in. I submit to you this morning that there are two things about David's life. That David was a warrior, and David was a worshiper. If you could sum up David's life, you would sum it up in those two characteristics. He was a warrior. How many know David killed lions, bears, and Goliath? And David also, the Bible says, slain his 10,000s. Remember, Saul slayed thousands, David tens thousands. David was a warrior. But David was not only a warrior, David was a worshiper. He was a psalmist. He wrote most of the book of Psalms, which is a hymn book, a song book of worship. A song book of worship. David was a psalmist, and he was a worshiper. And David, the Bible says, was a man after God's heart. So David was a warrior and a worshiper. I submit to you that David was a great leader, and David was greatly loved by the people because he knew how to be a worshiper and he knew how to be a warrior. I submit to you that when the Bible says that twice that David went out and he came in, it means that David had the wisdom to know how to go out to war and how to come back in to worship. That was the secret to David's success. He knew how to lead the people out to war, but he also knew how when he came back, he had to know how to worship. Because David understood the only way you're successful on the battlefield is you've got to be successful in the prayer closet. A lot of people know how to go out. Because how many know we have to live life? We have to go out every day into the world. We have to go out every day and fight battles. We have to go out every day and deal with life's challenges. But listen, we're not going to be successful when we go out if we don't know how to come in first and worship and know how to come into the presence of God. If we don't know how to develop a relationship with God through prayer and through worship as a lifestyle, not something we do occasionally or here and there, or just when we get in a jam, we pray. Just when things aren't going right, we run to church. We run to worship. Listen, we need to understand that if we're going to be victorious when we go out to war, it starts by being victorious in coming in and worshiping. David knew how to go out, and he knew how to come in. He knew how. He had the wisdom of God to go out to war and to come in to worship. My wife bought me a plaque not too long ago that I keep in my office that says this: when life gets too hard to stand, kneel. Listen, we've got to know how to go out because we go out every day to fight life's battles. But we also need to know how to come in. And if we don't learn how to come into the presence of God, we don't know how to come in and build relationship with God, we don't know how to come in and learn to pray and learn to worship God and learn to get filled up with God's presence, how many understand when we go out, we'll have nothing to fight with? David was a great leader. David was greatly loved because he knew how to go out and he knew how to come in. A.W. Tozer said this, taking a spin off of Proverbs. He said, as a man prays, so is he. Listen, let me show you something interesting. Let me show you this principle in Scripture. Numbers 27:15. Let the Lord set a man over. This is Moses is ready, getting up in age, and he's ready to turn the leadership over to Joshua, his successor. And look at what the Bible says. Let the Lord set a man over the congregation. Moses is saying there's a requirement for the next leader of Israel. There's a requirement for my successor. And I want you to know what he says. We're going to let God set a man over this congregation who knows how to go out and who knows how to come in. The requirement for Joshua to take over for Moses was not he knew how to go out of a room and come into a room, is that Joshua needed to know how to go out to war and also come in to worship. That was a requirement of leadership. That was a requirement for him to take over. And he says, and that he may lead them out and bring them in. Not only did he have to know how to do that, he needed to be able to model that and live that so that the people would learn it. How many understand? I need to be able, as a leader of this church, to be able to know how to go out and come in so I can help lead you to learn how you can go out and you can come in. How you can go out every day. That's why we teach what we teach. That's why we pastor like we pastor. That's why we encourage and do the things that we do, because we want to be able to teach you how to go out and handle life. But the only way you're going to handle life successfully is you have to learn how to come in to worship. You need to learn how to come in to pray. You need to learn how to come in and seek the face of the Lord. Notice what it says here now in Deuteronomy 31. Moses was now ready to retire. He had already appointed Joshua as his successor, and he said the requirement for Joshua was he had needed to know how to go out and come in. Notice what it says. Moses said to Israel, I'm 120 years old. Now, how many know that ought to be enough requirement to retire? I want to tell you right now, I'm not 120, and I'm not exactly ready to retire, but I'll tell you what, when I am, I can understand what Moses is saying. What Moses is saying is this, is I can no longer go out, and I can no longer come in. In other words, I've gotten to the point where I just can't physically, emotionally, and spiritually go out to war the the way I used to and come back in to worship the way I used to. And notice this, and the Lord had said to me, you will not go over into Jordan and into the promised land. Can I say something important to us? If we don't know how to go out and come in, we'll never go over. Oh, come on. If we can't go out and come back in and know how to worship and pray and know how to really have that kind of relationship with God, we'll never go over. We'll never win battles in life. We'll never be successful spiritually as we need to be if we don't learn how to come into worship and learn how to come into the presence of God and worship Him. Notice with Joshua, in the book of Joshua 14, Caleb. Remember, Caleb along with Joshua were the only two spies who gave a good report. Notice, Caleb said, I'm as strong this day as when Moses sent me. Even so, when Moses sent me into the land to spy it with Joshua. He said, I'm just as strong today at 85. Notice what he says. Because I still have strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Therefore, give me this mountain. And Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him the mountain of Hebron, for an inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord. Caleb knew how to go out to war and he knew how to come back in to worship. And because he knew how to go out and come in, God gave him mountains. Even at 85. How many can see a pattern here in Scripture? Come on. Never saw this before. Been preaching for 30 years. Been studying the Bible for a lot of years. Never saw this pattern in the Scripture. Let me show you what 1 Kings 3, verse 7, Solomon. Remember, Solomon was David's son. He took over as king from David. Notice this. Solomon says, and now, Lord, thou hast made me the servant king after my father David. Remember, this chapter is about when Solomon won the spiritual lottery, if you want to say that. Remember when God said to him, you can ask anything you want, I'll give it to you. How many would like God to show up to you and ask you that? Amen. I'll give you anything you want. You name it, you got it. And Solomon didn't ask for power. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for the death of his enemies. He didn't ask for anything material. You know what he asked for? He asked for wisdom. And you know what God said? Because you asked for wisdom and you didn't ask for power and wealth and death of your enemies, I'm going to give you power and wealth and the death of your enemies. Because he asked for wisdom. And I always wondered, why did Solomon ask for wisdom? Well, here he tells us. If you look in the verses before that, it's the same chapter. Look at what Solomon said. And now, Lord, thou hast made me the servant king after my father David. I'm but a child. In other words, I'm still young. I'm inexperienced. And I'm immature. Notice this. I don't know how to go out. And I don't know how to come in. I'm still learning, Lord, how to go out to war. And I'm still learning how to come in to you and into your presence to worship. I'm not quite as experienced as my father David. I'm not quite as experienced of those men of God before me. I haven't learned successfully how to go out and how to come in. Give me, therefore, wisdom. Wisdom for what? Wisdom to go out and wisdom to come in. Same Solomon said this, now, Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over thy people. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may, come on, say it, go out to war and come in to worship. Wow. You say, oh, that's all Old Testament. Okay. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. Everybody knows the Great Commission. What did Jesus say? Go out. Come on. Go out into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize people. And everybody thinks because that's the last chapter of Matthew, those were Jesus' last words. How many know that's not true? The Gospels are parallel. And Luke tells us that after he told them to go out, he first told them, go in. He said in Luke 24, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In other words, before you can go out and win the world, before you can go out and touch lives, before you can go out and be successful, you first got to come in and tarry in Jerusalem. And for 50 days in an upper room, they prayed and they worshiped and they sought God. And then on the 50th day, there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and the Holy Spirit filled them. And then they went out from that place and they turned their world upside down, and miracles and signs and wonders and lives were changed. Why? Because before they went out, they learned how to come in and worship. Oh, I'm not winning my battles every day. I seem to always come up short. Things just don't always say, listen, we all have problems. We all make mistakes. We all blow it. I'm not perfect. I haven't mastered all of this, but I tell you what, we're much more powerful and much more effective and much more victorious when we learn how to come in and worship before we go out. Before you shower, before you get dressed, before you head out into your workplace, before you head out into that day, you should first come into the presence of God, get filled up with His power, get filled up with His wisdom, get filled up with, so that when you go out, you have something to fight with. So when you go out, you have strength to fight. We don't win out in the battlefield because we don't win in the prayer closet. Jesus said, I'm the door. Come on. How many getting it? I never saw this. 30 years preaching. I am the door. What do you do through a door? You go out. Have a nice day. And you come in. I'm the door. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved. How many know there's only one door to be saved? Oops. I forgot how to go out and how to come in. How many know this would bother me? Those of you that know me know that a door. How many know me, if a door's left open or a light's left open, I get nervous. I'm bad like that. I'm the guy that turns the lights off on people in rooms. I'm that kind of guy. I'm sorry. But anyways, notice this. The only way to enter into salvation is through Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody else tell you anything different. There's only one way. And He's the door to go in to salvation and to enter. Notice this. But notice that not only is salvation, notice there's provision. He says you can find pastures. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me by the still water. He leads me in green pastures. You want to experience some green pastures? You want to have still waters? You want your soul to be restored? You want Him to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death successfully and comforted? You know what? He says, and those that go in and go out will find pasture. How many know the only time we go through the door of Jesus should not be when we get saved? Oh, I gave my heart to Jesus 24 years ago. Have you come into His presence since? Amen. Have you gone through that door? You should be going through that door every day. Say, Lord, today You're my shepherd and You're going to lead me. You're going to lead me out and You're going to lead me back in. How many know every day the shepherd would take them out of the sheepfold, let them wander around, lead them to the pastures, and then He would bring them back into the sheepfold. Every day we want to find provisions. We want to find the supply and the strength we need. Know how to go out, but know how to come in. Know how to come back into the sheepfold. Know how to come back into the house of God. Know how to come back into the prayer closet. Know how to come back into the presence of God in worship and in prayer. David was successful and victorious. Come on, because he knew how to go out to war and come in to worship. Now, stay with me in the next few moments. There are three things in 1 Samuel 18. That's where I had you turn. That's where I told you we were going to camp for this morning. There are three things that will be the result of those who know how to go out but those who know how to come in. When we learn how to truly come into the presence of God and truly learn how to be a prayer warrior and a worshiper, when we know how to do that, there'll be three results. I want you to see it in David's example. The first thing is the presence of God will be with us. The presence of God will be with us. Look at what it said in 1 Samuel 18. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. David behaved wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. Listen, when we know how to come into the presence of God, when we make prayer and worship a passion and a priority of our life, listen, the presence of God will be with us. Now listen, how many know there's the omnipresence of God? Now that's a theological term that just means omni means all present. Presence means present. God is all present. How many know God is everywhere present right now? But listen, how many know the Bible doesn't just speak of the fact that God is everywhere present? How many know God is here right now? But how many know there's also a scripture where Jacob wrestled with the Lord and he got up in the morning and he said, the presence of the Lord was here and I didn't know it. Amen. Listen, how many know it's possible that God's here today and you never experience it? Oh, come on. It's possible you could go days. Listen to me. You can go days in your life. You can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can go days and weeks and months where you're dry and you're stale and you're losing battles and you're losing ground and you're going backwards and things aren't happening. You know what? Because, yes, God is everywhere present. He's there. The difference is you aren't present with him. And when we learn how to come back into the presence of God and come back into right relationship and come back to the place where we spend time in prayer and worship with God and we're faithful to the house of God and we commit ourselves to being a worshiper, when we do that, how many know not only will God be everywhere present, but the Bible talks about the manifest presence of God, not just the omnipresence that he's everywhere, but how many know God, he talks about the manifest presence where God manifests himself, God shows up in the midst of his people. You look throughout the Old Testament, even the New Testament. Listen, when they pressed into God, how many know God showed up? And when God showed up, how many know things happen? See, God's here, but we have to invite him into our life. We have to invite him into our circumstance. Listen, God will never force himself upon us. We have to invite him into our life. We have to invite him into this church. That's why we sing and we worship. We don't just use songs in the beginning of service just to fill time. We don't do those songs and the prayers in the beginning of service just because we're setting the mood. You know, churches today now, I hate to say it, the trend and the model now is they don't even call it worship anymore. What they do in the beginning, they do one or two songs, and they're even, listen, Christian churches, even doing secular music to make people feel more comfortable. Listen, can I ask a question? I'd rather God be comfortable. I'm okay with people coming into this church, and I want them to feel welcome. I want visitors and guests to come in. I want you to feel that you're comfortable. I want you to feel that it's relatable and relevant. I want you to feel casual where you can come in and you feel that it's safe place. But listen, we're not here to make people comfortable. We're here to worship God. We don't even call it worship anymore. We do two songs and then we do all our other stuff and we wonder why God doesn't show up. We go back out the same way we came in. And we go back out into our world and we just keep living our lives the same old way. Nothing changes. Listen, if something's going to change, if things are going to change, we have to first know how to come into the presence of God and be a worshiper. Listen, I don't want just God to be with me in a generic sense. I want God to be with me when he shows up. You know what, in 2 Chronicles 20, remember when they went into battle? They put the singers and the worshipers in the front line. And the Bible says, and when they went out to praise and worship God, God set an ambush and defeated the enemy. And they ran. You want the enemy to be defeated? You want to win some battles? Begin to sing and worship. Begin to become a worshiper. Know how to come in so that when you go out, the enemies run and the enemies flee. Look at what it says. 2 Chronicles, when the priest came out of the holy place, How many know when the priest knew how to come in to the presence of God, and when they spent time in prayer, and they went into the holy place before the altar of the Lord, it says, and the Levites were singing. Notice, the priests were praying, and the Levites were singing with the cymbals and the psalteries in the harp. That's why we have drums and other instruments. I know some people say, oh, whatever. They're in the Bible. They went into the holy place, and they prayed, and they were singing and making melody and songs with the music, and they were praising the Lord. And when they did it, God wasn't just there in his omnipresence. God showed up with his manifest presence. God, the Bible says, a cloud filled the room, and the glory of the Lord filled that house, because they knew how to come in to the presence of God. The second thing in 1 Samuel 18, when we become warriors and worshipers, not only will the presence of God be with us, but the enemies of God will be afraid of us. Look at what happened with David. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and the Lord had departed from Saul. Remember, by this time in Saul's life, he had allowed an evil spirit to come into his life. So it was the evil spirit in Saul that was afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit in David. Listen, this isn't personal. Saul wasn't afraid of David because David was taller than him or smarter than him or better than him. That's not why Saul was afraid of him. Saul, it was the evil spirit in him that was afraid of the Holy Spirit in you. Listen, I want to tell you something. When you're full of the presence of God, people around you who don't have the Spirit of God and don't acknowledge the Spirit of God will react differently. And you wonder why they're acting adversely to it, because when you're full of the Spirit of God, the enemy can't handle that. Because when God shows up, enemies flee. When God shows up, and listen, that's why we need to come into the presence of God. That's why we need to pray and worship, to get filled up with the presence and the Spirit of God, so that when we go out to battle, how many know, we won't have to fight. We'll just show up with God inside of us, and the enemies will run and scatter. Look at what the psalmist said. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Listen, you have to let God arise. Uh-oh. I thought you said God is all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah, but how many know he gave us a free will, and we have to allow him to arise in our life. We have to allow him to show up in our life. How many know if you don't invite him in, he isn't just going to show up? Why did Jesus say, teach us how to pray? And why did Jesus teach them how to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, why do we have to pray? Why do we have to work? God can do whatever he wants. Listen, not unless we invite him does he show up. And when we invite him, when we come into the presence of God, when we learn how to be a prayer warrior, when we learn how to be a worshiper before the Lord, and we learn how to get filled up with the presence of God, what we need to do there is we need to invite God in so that we're filled up with the presence. So when we go out to life and we go out to work and we go out to battle, listen, things will happen naturally supernatural around us because of the power of the Spirit that's in us. Listen, the enemy, look at, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let them that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, as wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before the presence of God. Listen, the enemy, demon forces, and evil factors that are real in this world and are real in our life that try to stop us and hinder us will flee when we know how to come in to the presence of God. The third thing is not only will the presence of God be with us, not only will the enemies of God be afraid of us, but the wisdom of God will be in us. I love this. I love that when you become a prayer warrior and you make prayer a priority and worship, you become wise. You know what makes us wise, folks? It's not all our intelligence and our smarts, and there's nothing wrong with that. I believe in intelligence. I believe in education. I've got degrees hanging on my wall. I encourage my kids to get education and degrees. I believe education and wisdom is good in that sense. But how many know more than natural wisdom is we need spiritual wisdom. We need wisdom that comes from God. Because how many know there's some things that I couldn't learn with those degrees on the wall that only God could teach me. There are things I'm going to face in my life that all my smarts and all my experience and all my education isn't going to have enough wisdom to know what to do. and I'm going to need the wisdom of God. And listen, notice this, when David behaved wisely in all of his ways, because the Lord was with him, when Saul saw that he behaved wisely, he was afraid of him. What made David so wise? Was he knew how to go out, but he also knew how to come in to the presence of God. He knew how to sit at the feet of Jesus. He knew how to pray and worship. He knew how to say, Lord, I need your wisdom. Yes, I know by experience this is what I did in the past. Yes, I know by experience this is what might be good. Yes, I've checked with four experts. Yes, I got some counsel. But Lord, I need wisdom from you. You know where you get that? When you come in to the presence of God. When you come in prayer, when you come in worship, that's when God starts giving you wisdom. I can't tell you how many times when I'm just worshiping in church and when I'm just around the building and I come to the altar and start, how thoughts come to my mind and wisdom comes from God. You know what? I'm a firm believer. See, I'm the best worshiper in the shower. Yeah. I mean, that's how I do my best singing. And thank God you can't hear it, because I'm not a good singer. But when I get in the shower, how many know, doesn't matter who hears me. And it's amazing. That's where I get all my ideas in the shower. Almost to the, also to the point where I keep a pen and paper near my shower. I get some of my best sermon ideas in the shower. You know why? Because when I go in the shower, I start singing. I start singing and worship. I put on music while I'm in the shower. And I'm worshiping and I'm singing and I'm, and it's amazing, when I'm driving in my car and I put music on, I'm driving in my car and I'm just praying, saying, Lord, I have to pull over in the parking lot and write some ideas down. It's amazing how wisdom comes when you learn how to come in to the presence of God. The Bible says in James 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask. I don't know what to do. Have you asked God? Remember the story about the little boy whose dad told him to go out and move the big rock in the backyard for him? He went out and he pushed on it, it was too heavy. He went and took a board and stuck it under, tried to pry it out and lift it out. After trying everything he knew, he came back in and he said, Dad, he said, I can't do it, I just can't do it. He said, I've done everything I know to do. He says, no, you haven't done everything, you didn't ask me to help you. How many times do we push and we pry and we try and we strain and we struggle and God's just saying, why don't you ask me? Why don't you ask me? The problem is that we're out there and we're not in there where we should be asking. Come on. How many know it's easier out there in war when we're in here in worship? The presence of God will be with us. The enemies of God will be afraid of us. And the wisdom of God will be in us. We have a great high priest in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our faith. How do we hold fast to our faith? Let us go boldly in to the presence of God, into the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Listen, you need mercy, you need grace, you need strength, you need help. You know what? Go boldly into the throne room of heaven. Go in before you go out and try to figure it out. Before you go out and try to work it all out. Before you go out and make a bigger mess than we already have. How many times we tried to do it in our own strength, our own wisdom, and we mess it up worse. Before you go out, know how to come in. And ask God. And come boldly into his throne room. And find mercy and grace in time of need. Why was David so successful? Why was he a great leader and why did people greatly love him? Because he knew how to, come on, say it. He knew how to go out and he knew how to go in. How many ever saw that before? I never saw it. Anybody ever see that before? Never saw that. Let me share with you in closing this. When the people would go out to war, how many know three things would happen? They'd go out and they would lose, they would win, or they would be still in the middle of the battle and have to come in for supplies. When you go out to war, those are the options. You either go out and you win, you go out and you lose, or you got to come back in to get supplies. In the Old Testament, you look at all the battles in the Old Testament. When they went out and they lost, you know what they did when they came in? They repented. They repented. They said, God, we don't know why we lost. We don't know if it's our fault or we don't know what happened. But whatever, we come in and we repent and we say, change us. Help us. Forgive us. And they came in and they changed their strategy. How many know if you lose, if you're losing, how many know it's time to change your strategy? Some people keep doing the same old thing, getting the same results, and saying, I don't get it. You know what? If it's not working, change it. If you're losing battles, you know what? Start winning. You know how you win? You come in and you say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I'm sorry. You know what? There isn't a day that I don't come in and say, Lord, if there's anything in me that isn't right, get it out of there. I don't want anything to hinder me and block up things up. How many know when they won the battle, you know what they came back and did? They rejoiced. They celebrated. They danced. David was a dancer. He danced and worshiped before. When they came into battle, David knew how to go out, but he knew also how to come in. And when he came in and when he lost, he fell on his face. But when he won, he danced up a storm. And can I say to you, if you just won a battle this week or you're winning in your battle, right, you ought to be shouting. You ought to be celebrating. You ought to be rejoicing. Listen, Christians need to learn how to repent when we mess up, and we need to know how to rejoice when we do good. And when God does good for us, we need to honor him and thank him and rejoice before him. But notice this, that when they went out to battle in war, if the battle lingered, and if they were stuck in the middle of the battle, and they got tired and worn out, or nightfall came, you know what they did? They came in. And you know when they came in, you know what they did? They slept, they ate, they refueled, they reloaded, they recharged, they checked their weapons and made sure they were ready for the next day. And after they refreshed themselves, then they went back out. Amen. This morning, where are you in the battle of life? Are you losing? My suggestion to you is say, come in to the presence of God today and say, Lord, if it's me, forgive me. If it's someone else, or I'm affected by the evil of this world, or if it's something out of my control, I surrender to you and I humble myself before you and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and I bow myself and give me God ideas. I change my mind and my direction and I look to you. If you're winning, you ought to be celebrating. And you ought to be dancing and shouting and praising the Lord. And you ought to be the first one to run to the house of the Lord. How many know, it's interesting. You would think that when we won, people would come in more. You know what happens? Things start going good. God answers a prayer, gets us a job. God blesses us with something, and all of a sudden we forget about God. All of a sudden, we prayed real hard when we wanted that thing. When we were in a jam, we ran to church. We ran to the pastor. We prayed. We did everything we knew to do. And then God answered it. And God helped us. And then we don't see anybody for 6 months. And then they're gone. They don't know. Why? Because things are good. You know what? We need to come in and know how to come back into the presence and say, Lord, thank you for that victory. So you know what? So we can go from victory to victory. It's amazing, isn't it? Listen, today if you're still in the middle of the battle and you just feel tired and you feel worn out and you feel like I got to reload, I got to recharge, I need a nap. How many know naps are spiritual? What did God do when Elijah was under the juniper tree and he wanted to die and give up? What was the first thing God did? He gave him something to eat and said, take a nap. That's spiritual. Some of us need a nap today. Thou shalt have a nap. I'm going to make that the 11th commandment. I mean, no, I don't got the power to make the 11th commandment. But that's still good preaching. Now listen, if you're still in the battle and you need to refresh, sometimes we just get worn down, folks. I don't care how spiritual you are, I don't care how good you are. I tell you, there are days when I, myself, I just get so worn down. And I get so tired. You know what? That's when we need to come in to refresh. This morning, we need to come into the presence of God. Some of us need to come in to repent. Some of us need to come in to rejoice. Some of us need to come in to refresh. Come on, Stephen, jump up here. I know you were trying to get up here and you thought I was going to keep going because that's usually what happens. Hurry up, run up here, guys. Come on, worship team, get up here fast because we're going to come in. Stand with me. Come on. I still got 10 minutes. How many know God can do in 10 minutes? Come on. Come on, bow your head with me. Take a moment. Bow your head right where you are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here this morning and say, Pastor, I've been losing. Things just haven't been going the way I've... And look, I don't know what I've done. I'm not even sure what's going on. Listen, just come into the presence of God today. Listen, you've got a merciful high priest who's touched with the feeling of your pain and your loss. And you can go boldly into his throne. Look, you don't have to cower and hold back. Well, you don't know. I messed up again. I messed up again. You know what? You can come back into the presence of God. God doesn't want you to shy away or be afraid because you messed up. He wants you to come boldly. Come on, don't hang your head if you messed up. Don't hang your head if you missed the mark. Don't hang your head if you lost the battle, you made a bad choice, and you ended up going the wrong direction. Listen, God is merciful and kind and gracious, and if you'll come into his presence today and repent and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, wash me. God, I haven't been as faithful as I should be. God, I haven't been in prayer like I ought to be. I haven't been developing my relationship like I ought to be. Haven't been faithful to the house of God. But I come back in, and I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me and to strengthen me. I change my strategy and my direction, and I humble myself before you. Come on, lift your hand if you need that this morning. Come on, lift that. Come on, if you're here this morning and you're winning that battle, come on, lift your hand as a sign of worship. If things are going well in your life and God is blessing you and good things are happening and you're seeing victories and you're making a difference and you feel like you're moving forward, come on, lift your hand and just rejoice. Lift your hand and make sure you come back to thank. Like the lepers who was healed, only one came back to thank him. Only one came back. Come on, lift your hand and thank the Lord. Come on, lift your hand and rejoice and celebrate the goodness of God. And if you need refreshed, if you need refreshed, if you need strengthened, if you're tired and you're worn out, come on, lift your hand and say, Lord, renew me and refresh me and strengthen me and help me. Come on, lift your voice, lift your heart, lift your hand. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Let's come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's come into his courts with praise. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Come on, let's worship him. Come on, let's